Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were in the beer garden with our good friends at Green King today, so we decided to dig out the popular cricket dice game, How's That? It was a touch loose, wasn't it?
It was, but we've upgraded it for the modern era, I think people will enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, sort of.
Well, yeah.
Our bits, and we talked to Britain's youngest greyhound trainer.
We did. You'll hear from her everything you need to know about the art of greyhound training and more. And that's all here. Six minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good game last night.
I
enjoyed it.
I mean, kind of bit of a testimonial pace to start with. Then it got going, didn't it? In Switzerland, they always compete. They are always...
I was impressed with them.
Getting involved in the game. Yeah, it was a good game.
I thought, you know, in the end, if you take Ronaldo out of the match, then Switzerland with a better side.
Yeah.
And I think Holland and England would have preferred to play, watching that before Ronaldo sort of exploded into life, they would rather have played Portugal in the final. But, you know, they weren't great, Portugal. I mean, Ronaldo he didn't even particularly play well, but yeah, he is Ronaldo.
I think maybe a bit too soon to go with João Félix, is he all that? I mean, he's a kid. he had one chance, didn't he?
Yeah.
The very good ball in from Ronaldo.
Didn't do much in the game.
No,
though,
he couldn't get into the game. No. He was desperately trying, but he just couldn't get involved in the
match. I thought Switzerland had some decent players. Haris Seferovic, or to give him his full name, Ron Harris Seferovic. Yeah. He likes to put the ball into row Z.
Of course he does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, the refereeing was quite strange. Never mind.
He's a really experienced guy as well, isn't he?
I know. It was really odd, the VAR. And I said to you, I just felt he looked at it on the screen. He didn't want to overrule himself. He felt, you know, basically he would have been, you know, he would have had to give a penalty the other end. I don't know what on earth was going on, but in the end it was all pretty unsatisfactory.
It didn't look like a pen, did it?
Not really.
The Swiss one.
No, and I said to you, why did he go for the last look? He insisted on looking at the screen. You could see it was a big wide shot, and that seemed to make up his mind. You think, well, of course, he's going to look like a penalty from there.
Do you think
like
that was him asking to see the start of that move?
He seemed to.
Yeah.
You know,
it does seem very
it's difficult. And is William Carvalho really known as Sir William in Portugal? I thought that was a bit strange from the commentator. Surely it's Portugal's equivalent, like Grand Official Infante or Dom, I think it is. Don Boycott. Like, you wouldn't call him Sir William, would you, really?
Did you look all those up?
I did, yeah.
Did you look up
I don't have a great knowledge of Portuguese aristocracy honours.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I would have put you down as someone who did, but there we are. Now, this call subject, let me find the details of it. It's a manager in Germany, Andy. Mm. It's a bizarre little story, this. He's got the sack. He was working in the fifth division in Germany for a team called TV Jan Heisfeld. They told their manager before the last game of the previous season, of the season just gone, that he would be relieved of his duties at the end of that season. So he turned up for the last game in charge in full fishing gear, rod included,
really?
And sat on the sidelines. That's great.
That's
isn't
one for
it?
Nigel Botherway, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So full fishing gear, rod next to him. He's got the hat on. There he is. Look, you
we've got to get more football managers fishing.
Look, there he is. Look, Andy. See there? You can see a picture of him there in all of his fishing gear with the rod, more or less sitting in the dugout.
Fantastic.
In the team.
That is fantastic.
So you'd call that last day at work mischief. So if you've got examples of that, if you thought on the, look, you know, what have I got to lose? What are they going to do, sack me? That's the phrase. That's a good point, isn't it? I'm going to have a little bit of fun today. So if you went down the same route as the fifth tier German football manager, let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or you can tweet to TSHNJ. TSHANDJ. We'll take the best of those this afternoon.
And I see that you noticed this, that according to the paper, Spurs want $130 million for Eriksen. You think, no, they don't. He's not worth that, is he? And they're not going to get anything like that. What do you say, in this market, 70, 80?
He's only got a year left on his contract. Although, you know, you've been asking $100 million for Hazard, haven't you?
Yeah, but that's euros. I think they're going to get probably about 80 million.
There's not a lot of difference at the moment.
That's very true.
About 20 pence in it, I think.
And Ericsson's agent, though, he's in that envelope of Guy Swindles, does he? His name is Martin Schütz. Does he?
Yeah.
He's one of those.
We're going to hear a lot from Martin Schütz, I think, over the next few months. The other story doing the rounds today was our good friends in the Mail, who've said that Maurizio Pochettino will have £50 million to spend this summer, and that includes the money you get from selling Eriksen and up to three other players.
That's just
we might as well drive him straight to Turin then.
That's mischief,
might as well
mate.
Set off today. But if that's it, I think that's not the new way that you wanted to go.
I don't think so, really.
So, anything else?
Oh, yeah. So,
You've got time.
Oh, yeah, I've got time, I have. Yes, and what have we got here? Who knew that Premier League referee John Moss has got a record store selling classic old discs?
Yeah.
It's got a great name. It's called Vinyl Whistle.
It's good, isn't it?
Which is terrific. He's making plans for his retirement, John 48, and he's been seen out in Hong Kong looking for rare Asian records to sell.
Are they big in Leeds, rare Asian records?
I don't know. There's a market for all this rare stuff. We used to use Beano's in Croydon, and we found loads of really good sporting records there.
And maybe John Moss can be our new source of that sort of stuff.
I wonder if he's got Keep Fit with Graham Williams. He could do with it. No disrespect.
A bit late for that now, isn't it? No disrespect.
No.
But yeah, he goes around the world looking for rare discs.
Yeah, well, that's good. He's still riffing next season, isn't he?
They haven't got to retire at a certain stage now, and I just keep passing the fitness test, they're all right.
But it's a big market. It's a rare Oasis Familiar to Millions record that he's got online. It's being sold for, he wants £275, and I think you probably get it. People want to pay money for this.
Because we often talk about footballers going into haulage or buying pubs. Well, they did. They don't do that anymore, obviously. They're multimillionaires. But you don't often think about
haulage.
Would referees used to do jobs as well as referee. Now they're full-time referees. Do they just go back into Tommy Tippy for you, mate? Tipping drink all down yourself. What a class act.
You know what it is? The top isn't on properly.
Oh, the top is on.
I have an issue with the staff here.
It'd be very funny if it'd come off and it had all gone over.
Oh, yeah, marvellous. A boiling hot liquid, really funny.
Well, I would have laughed.
You would have. You would have laughed a lot.
Where was I going with that? Yeah, referees. They often go back to their old jobs, don't they? Anyway, it wasn't going anywhere. So,
but I know how you feel now, because every transfer that gets announced, because Spurs haven't signed anybody for two winners, as you know, and it's like a dagger in the heart. United have gone for Southampton. I think, blimey, everyone else is going to get stronger. And Chelsea basically just, it's harsh, a transfer ban. It's a hard thing to endure.
Is it worse knowing that you won't be signing anybody because you've got a ban, or thinking you're going to sign somebody in two windows and then not sign anybody? I'd say that's worse,
yeah.
Because it's the hope that kills you. At least you know you're not signing anybody.
That's true.
I sat there kind of watching Jim and the gang to about sort of 5 to 11 with nothing going on, waiting for Jim to say, and I have just seen, let's go back to Gary at the Spurs train and nothing going on.
Nothing happened.
That was 10 times worse.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, the final of the 2019 Star Sports ARC and LPS Greyhound Derby takes place at the end of this month on the 29th of June. You've had the countdown of the final on since May the 24th. And joining us in the studio now is Britain's youngest greyhound trainer, Annalise Thompson. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
So how old are you?
27, but 20. If anybody asks, I'm 21, really.
And how did you get involved in the sport?
It was actually about 10 years ago. I was selling men's suits for Jeff Banks' company, and I just was so fed up with it. And my dad had he had about 12 greyhounds. I said, can I just come and do them for a couple of weeks while I figure out what I want to do? And that was it. 3 days later, wow. I was hooked.
Wow. So did you kind of train on the job with your dad, or did you kind of go to...
Kind of a bit training, a lot of fighting, clashing. But yeah, he taught me everything I knew. And I mean, there's some fabulous people like the vets out there. There's so much to learn off with them. I mean, 10 years on, I'm still learning new things every day. Mm. That's how it is with animals.
Yeah, how complicated is it to train a dog? Presumably they have to have the raw speed to start with.
Yeah, that's a benefit. You just have to try and enhance it as best as you can. There's all things like feed, supplements, the exercise regimes. But sometimes you do just get greyhounds that are naturally quite slow.
Yeah.
Or just not disciplined. I mean, they kind of lose interest and stuff. Or once, are they always, is it they naturally inclined to race?
Naturally, they just want to chase anything that moves.
Yeah.
So that's a great benefit if they're doing that from an early age. Some just, you need to bring it out of them a bit more. But yeah, they love to go to the racetrack, and just to watch them burst out the boxes and run round. You can just see how much they enjoy it.
Yeah.
We were saying there's a great history of greyhound racing in this country. The Derby used to be shown on Sports on BBC, then Sky got involved. Mm-hmm. But you were saying that lately it's just sort of not struggling, but it's been reduced slightly, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Sky pulled out a couple of years ago. We're always looking at trying to get them back on board. But we're doing really well. We've got Racing Post, Greyhound TV. They really promote the sport amazingly. The tracks themselves are really doing a good job at promoting it as well.
I like that channel, 431.
Yes.
I'm a big fan.
You are a fan, aren't you?
And I'm fascinated, but we'll talk a bit, because I think one of the things that got some information about you, and it said, can you commentate on a greyhound race?
Not at all.
Well, the only thing is, we've noticed, the one thing I've noticed from watching Channel 431 is it doesn't matter what the dog's called. It's basically 2 from 3, 4, back in 5, and that's it, isn't it? Because you don't have the time to actually say.
It's hard, especially if you get some names that are really awkward to say. I mean, you do get some commentators out there, when you get the bigger races, they will actually say the names of the dogs. And as an owner as well, you'd much rather hear the names than just a number.
Of course.
Yeah. You don't want your greyhound just to be a number to you.
So it's all in the breeding, I take it, much like horses, is it really, in terms of greyhounds, to get the very best?
Yeah, I mean, you start looking at the dams and the size of mums and the dads and who was the best at racing. And you're breeding an athlete. You're wanting the dog with the strongest heart, the strongest lungs, the biggest muscles. So in terms of breeding, they are real, really well bred, and that's what everybody's after.
And what's the story behind the dogs that are likely to go all the way then to June the 29th? I mean, where are they coming from? Are they all in the UK?
No, we've got an Irish team as well over, so there's a nice bit of healthy competition between the English and the Irish trainers.
Right. So it's like Cheltenham then, is it?
Very much so. Yeah, there's dogs from all over the country, obviously from overseas as well, so it's a really nice thing to have and be part of at Nottingham and see all the different dogs, the different trainers, the different owners as well, all sort of competing against each other.
Still worth $100,000, isn't it?
Yeah,
still a big prize money to win.
Decent prize money.
Life-changing.
We discovered recently that they go over the jumps in greyhound. We didn't realise that either, which actually we looked at it on YouTube. It's quite exciting.
Do they still do that?
I think they do a little bit.
Not as much up north. They do do it at a few tracks down south as well, the hurdle racing, we call it. It's always fun to watch that, just to watch them glide over the jump. Some are a bit more awkward to watch, but it's
again, training a dog to do that, I would imagine, is quite interesting. And we often wonder why the races are so oddly timed. Like, it'll be the 8:51 from Newcastle.
Or the 11:13.
Yeah, in the morning.
So they get interesting times when they start.
It's just how it works with the bookies, and they have to fit it around the horse racing, and that's why it is awkward times.
Fair enough.
So some basic questions. How fast do the dogs go?
About 35, 40 mile an hour.
Right.
They're one of the fastest mammals. They are really, really quick, especially when you're trying to chase them around the fields. You've got no hope.
Right. They've never caught the hare, though, have they, before they get to the end? That would ruin the race, wouldn't it?
You'd think week in, week out, they'd learn that they're not going to catch it, but they still try.
Yeah. I was saying that we used to go to White City when there were a lot of dog tracks in London. Sadly, a lot of them have disappeared.
Yeah.
But it was a top night out. It was really enjoyable, you know, and they had a restaurant and you could have a meal, you know, obviously you could bet on the dogs, watch the races, and it was good fun.
It still is. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have as many tracks now. There's 20 out there in the UK and Scotland, and but it's still such a good night out. And different tracks have benefits of different things. Like Peterborough is amazing for children. They do so much for the kids. But then you've got your other tracks where you can go have all the meals in the restaurant. They give great offers, especially if you're an owner as well. It still is a good night out.
And the final's going to take place, that'll be at Nottingham, will it?
Yes.
And is that now the kind of premier track in the country?
It is at the moment, yeah. Everybody's talking about it, everybody's visiting it. It's nice to be a part of it. And hopefully we'll have it there for a few years to come.
Fantastic. So what do you feed the dogs on then when you're training? I imagine they get prime cuts at the top.
Yeah, a bit of everything. I mean, it's great. My mum's got a dog food business, so I get a lot of free meat. I mean, we have a biscuit as a base, but then they have something different every day because you wouldn't want to eat the same meal, would you? Three times a day. So we have like a cheese day, tomato day, meat day, pasta day.
Really?
Yeah, kids, something different for
them. Sounds good.
And then they've all got different supplements as well, so it's just trying to keep on top of all of that.
And they've got some interesting ways to prepare for races, haven't they? It's not just sort of running around in circles. You do some other exercise stuff with them, don't you?
We have, luckily where I am, I've got, my dad's a racehorse trainer, so we have a lot of land. We've got a mile and a half gallop, so normally, it's a lot of exercise for the staff as well. They have to get up there and get them walking around and galloping about. We've got swimming facilities.
Oh, wow.
Some dogs are naturally athletic and don't take a lot of exercise, but then you do get some that you need to kind of push out of them a little bit more.
Yeah. And naming, is there any kind of restrictions on what you can name the dogs? Or
as long as there's no swearing involved.
Yeah, people try and sneak those through. Yeah. They're doing horse racing,
don't
they?
I've seen a couple of them, very cleverly thought out. But no, there's not really that many restrictions, as long as you've got up to 16 characters, I think that's it, really.
So if you were calling the winner now on the 29th of June, Annalise, who do you think's got a good chance?
I mean, it's a fabulous competition this year, but I do like Dorota's Wildcat, who was last year's winner as well.
He
runs Nottingham superbly. I know he's favourite to win the competition, but...
I think it's going to be two from three and five back in third.
Oh, is that what you're going for? Okay, well, you're sticking your neck out there, Andy. That is bold of you. So, yeah, winning 2 years in a row, does that happen?
No, it's a bit unheard of, so it'd be nice to see it happen this year.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, continued success. You were telling us you probably won't have one in the final, but you could have dogs running that evening at Nottingham.
Yeah, hopefully we've got, we'll have Hagswood River, Lochnam on Mike running over the longer distance. That's their forte, really. We've got a nice puppy tuck out for Jack's Flashover. That hopefully he'll be running as well.
And tickets still available for the night?
They are, yeah. The restaurant's sold out, from what I believe, but there's still the general admission. There's the marquee where you can have a buffet meal as well.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. We told you early on about the fifth tier manager in Germany. Well, not the manager himself isn't fifth tier, the team was. No wonder he got the sack. But yeah, the team in the lower reaches of the German leagues, who was told he'd be relieved of his duties at the end of the season. So he turned up for the very last game of the season in all his fishing gear, complete with his rod and then just set in the dugout.
He
did look the part. So we're asking you about a bit of last day at work mischief, and you've been telling us your stories. Neil says, on being made redundant from a food factory in Enfield, North London, 50% Spurs, 50% Arsenal, he said, the workforce, I turned up for my last day in full Manchester United kit, including boots.
Nice.
Needless to say, it caused quite a reaction. Yeah, I'm sure it did. And this from Ryan in Norwich. On my last day working in a garden centre, I poured washing up liquid into a water feature. I hope it was fish free, I hope. Otherwise, you'd have Nigel Botherway after you. I had a photo sent to me the next day of the entire floor covered in bubbles. I don't think the old boss was too impressed. Well, I suppose it's criminal damage, technically.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that'd be the reason, yeah.
That's probably what it is. But thank you very much. You can keep those coming. Last day at work mischief. What did you get up to, much like that German manager? Talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089. Or tweet to TSHNJ.
Today's oddly named race is the 7:45 at Fofoss Lass.
It's Foss. It's not Fofoss. Fofoss Lass. It sounds like you're
having
it's just Foss. Yeah. It's like the F in banana. It's silent.
It's the the F in banana.
Yeah, that's it.
7:45. It's the John Morse Solicitors Handicap.
Yeah.
Hurdle and
Fofoss.
Fofoss. I always think that. I thought his name was Endeavour. I didn't think his first name was John.
Yeah, what about that? It must be a local.
Who knew?
You got any? I'll tell you, it was a great picture the other day. Only Brian Clough would do this. I don't know if Jurgen Klopp would have done this, potentially, or indeed it, or Pep. There was a thing called Football Back Then, which is a Twitter feed, has some brilliant pictures. Brian Clough, the morning after Nottingham Forest had clinched the league title in 1978, went off and marked up the papers in his brother's newsagent.
Did he?
So that was it. Following morning, he went there, did the marking up for the deliveries.
That's
There's
good.
Cloughy
keep,
with
keep
his
your
brother.
Feet on the ground. That's
and
typical Brian,
adding to
it?
That was Matt Ford, comedian, Forest fan, who said he was a paperboy for Gerald Clough. He used to work in that
really?
Shop. Yeah, what about that?
Good.
At this very newsagent. So I thought, I just pass on.
Well, he's a mad Forest fan, isn't he?
He certainly is, yeah.
Yeah. That's probably right.
Nice claim to fame, that, Matt, definitely.
Did you see this list in The Sun this morning of the top 10 fitness fads in the last 50 years? And some of them were like the cabbage soup diet. Was
you must have done one or two, knowing you, I would think.
I think I did the cabbage soup diet.
I think you did, didn't you? Yeah.
But some of them...
You did, because you were in quite a bad way.
I think I was, actually.
I think we had to move to the studio closer to the toilet, didn't we?
Then there was the baby food diet. That's where you sort of mush everything up.
Yeah.
You know, prancercise. I don't remember prancercise.
No, I don't remember that at all.
No, no. Twerking classes. I think, yeah, I remember that.
Did you go to those?
No.
No, okay.
Laugh-a-size. What was that? We just laugh a lot, I suppose.
I wanted to do that, but working with you, it's quite difficult.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I wanted. I've really tried hard. I actually signed up to it, but I just. Yeah.
Straight face. Really straight face-a-size.
Didn't really work out.
1,000-yard stare-a-size.
Yeah.
But never mind. I'm fascinated by Princess Anne's hair. Which
are you really? You often have been, haven't you, in the past?
It's most Brillo-like at the dinner. Honestly, they could have blown a hurricane through there. It'd just be still be absolutely... I think Donald Trump borrowed her hairspray, though, because when he arrived in Britain,
he probably asked her where she gets it from, because it doesn't move, does it, her it hair?
And neither did his the other day, and Melania's was blowing all over the place. And his was just like, you know,
set.
Stiff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But the Queen bade farewell, according to the court circular.
Did she say your phrase?
No.
Bade farewell?
No, it's the court circular in the Times. The Queen bade farewell to the President and United States of the United States of America and Mrs. Trump.
Yeah.
And then later on, the Earl Peel, Lord Chamberlain, was present at Southampton Airport this afternoon upon the departure of the President of the United States of America and Mrs. Trump, and bade farewell to the President and Mrs. Trump on behalf of the Queen. She's already done it.
Yeah.
You didn't need to. What a waste of time.
It's like that old Lauren Hardy film, isn't it? Goodbye! Goodbye! Yeah, I remember that one.
Marvellous. And we were talking about Royal Ascot earlier, and I didn't realise, I think they had this last year, but I'd forgotten about it. Charlotte Hawkins, the Good Morning Britain presenter, revealed the uniform to be worn by the dress code assistants at Royal Ascot from June the 22nd.
Right.
So they're wearing a special uniform. I suppose they go around saying, well, you haven't got your top out on, or... You know, you've got to...
So
I think
like,
skirts
they
have
are
to
literally
be...
the fashion police.
Well, basically,
They're going round and they're saying, do your tie up, your top hat's on the wonk. is that sort of thing?
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
Hey, I think short skirts is the thing they don't like.
Really?
Too short skirts, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they sort of, you know... So,
Who was telling us they're after Ascot in the Stephen Hendry, wasn't Stephen he? Henry was telling us yesterday he's going the full Rupert Bell top hat and tails.
He's hired it though, unlike Rupert has his own mothball suit that he gets every year.
Yeah, that's right, that old hat, which has got a bullet hole in it, really, from the Boer War. His old top hat, that's right, yeah.
And Billie Jean King's unhappy that the British player, what was her name now? Let's have a look. I can't find her name now. But anyway, Katie Bolter.
Oh, yeah.
She withdrew from the Grand Slam. She sort of turned up there, said she was injured. Well, she was injured. And got $20,000 for just being there.
Wow.
And Billie Jean King says, I don't know her situation, but you can deprive somebody of being in the draw. Maybe a young person coming up or an older player in their last year. If you know for sure you can't play, you should pull out early and give someone else a chance. You think, well, that's not going to happen, is it, if you're going to get $20,000? You're going to turn your back on $20,000, are you?
No, not really.
You're going to hobble
It's
there.
Very easy to say when you're Billie Jean King. $20,000, I don't know, she'd spend that on a night out, possibly.
Oh,
I don't know.
On a good cigar.
On a good cigar, well, she might do.
I don't think she smokes cigars, yeah. Billie Jean.
Well, she might no do. Idea.
Who knows?
Anyway, you've been weighing in once again with more of these bits of last out work mischief. For my last day as a store manager of an electrical store, says John, in Ilford, I burnt my uniform in the car park and drove home in my shorts.
That's fantastic.
That's a bit sinister, isn't it? The idea
people,
of just...
People can be quite angry if they leave.
To light a fuel on your uniform and then burning it as a goodbye in the car. Well, thank you, John. A bit worrying, but thank you.
I'm going to have a bonfire of all my notebooks when I go.
I think you are. Ryan says, last out of furnishing store... I slashed all the rugs in the base. That's criminal damage again. Oh, it's getting a bit dark.
Yeah, it's not good there.
So when they opened up for display from sales, Ryan, you shouldn't have done that. That's a terrible thing. That's breaking the law.
Whereas
just saying lightly your uniform in the car park, it's a bit creepy.
There's a lot of speculation around Newcastle at the moment about whether Mike Ashley's finally going to sell. And a company has been set up, registered at Company's House yesterday. I think the clue is definitely in the name, Monochrome Acquisition Limited.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you don't call something that's after Newcastle that, do you, unless you really are serious
about
it.
It could be exciting times for Newcastle, this.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, they're such a potentially huge club, so, you know.
Didn't you have other tennis news? There was something else you were telling me tennis-wise.
Oh, yeah, there was a coach, and one of the coaches has said that he's sick of players hugging at the end of... He calls it systematic hugging. Yeah. He says it really annoys him. It's Serena Williams' coach, actually. Patrick Muratoglu, his name is.
Oh, yeah.
And he thinks it's just sort of ridiculous. He said it's all right if it's Roger Federer and Stan Wawrinka.
And they know each other.
Because they've been friends for many years. They embrace fondly. But he says it starts to get symptomatic. So every time you beat somebody, you give them a big hug.
Nothing you get worked up about, though, is it? I mean, does it matter?
I don't know. I don't know why he did. Well, perhaps he's like me. He gets worked up over nothing.
Well, I remember once, I mean, this got nothing to do with tennis, but I went on holiday once with some friends, and the karaoke was on, and my friend Dave decided what he would do, as each person started a song, to sing a karaoke song, he would clap, much like the and stars in their eyes. And I did say to him, Dave, this is not stars in their eyes, mate. It's just karaoke. Because as he started to clap, everybody clapped. And it became a thing throughout the evening. When somebody got to do a song, he'd start everybody. So in the end, he wasn't even... They were just taking on the clapping.
Oh, right.
Because he knew it was really winding me up. I got nothing to do with it. But he turned it into stars in their eyes.
Oh, did he, really?
I think that's a rocky road in the world of karaoke,
well,
don't you?
Anyway,
let's move on.
Thank you very much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Pull up a seat and join us now for Hop's Hearty Laughs and Hospitality.
When's that happening?
I've got no idea. Sometime later.
The
legendary, soon to be, obviously, because the first time we've done it.
Yeah.
Hawksby and Jacobs Summer Pub Garden.
Yeah.
Thanks to Green King. Now, you're probably sitting there saying, yeah, you're not in some summer pub garden.
We are.
You just
we had to dash out during the news.
In the studio. But you couldn't be more wrong, as this sound effect proves. See?
There it is, look at that.
How much more pub gardens you want?
It really is beautiful. It reminds me of the Green King pub we were at last Thursday in Richmond. Beautiful place it was.
Andy's brought one of his grandkids along, sitting in the corner with a bottle of lemonade and a packet of crisps.
Yeah,
told
him
to keep quiet.
That's good.
We got beers.
Look, we got beers.
Okay, it's a very odd sound. Somebody's got a tuning fork along with a glass. So cheers, Andy.
Cheers. Cheers. Are we allowed to drink this?
Yeah, we'll be allowed to drink this. Newton and Ridley. It is. It's a nice Green King IPA.
My favourite cricket tournament, the IPA.
Yeah, just have a little sip of that. Oh, blimey. Mm. It may be a fake sound effect, but it's real beer, thankfully.
Oh, certainly.
That's good
is,
news.
Yeah.
And we've decided we might kick a few of the old summer games in sport or not, one size fits all.
We're in a garden.
We're in a garden, after all, over the course of the summer. And we're going to kick off with a game of... Oh, look, there's someone there mowing their lawn just over there in the side.
We've got to keep the
pub garden.
Next door
to the pub garden.
We've got to keep the garden nice.
Yes, the garden. It was quite short-lived, wasn't it? Nice fade on that.
It's very quick.
Oh, there's a train going past. I see, past here. We're quite close to the train lines in this pub garden.
Very nice, yeah.
So I think the plan is to have a game of How's That, isn't
it? Okay, yeah, we haven't played for ages. I think probably both forgotten how to play. Really,
ask your granddad to tell you that the counters you play with used to be made of lead.
Yeah, that's right.
But
yeah.
Aren't anymore. They're now plastic.
Yes.
It's the game that comes in a tin. It's called How's That, the cricket game for all weathers. You have... basically two kind of tumblers, don't you? Two dice type things. One has written on it 1, 3, 6, 2, 4, and how's that? How's that, of course, is when you're out and you roll that. And the other one has bold stump, not out, LBW, caught, no ball, etc. And it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? You roll the one with the numbers on and you accumulate the runs. And when how's that it's landed on? By the batting team.
Yeah.
The bowler throws their tumbler and tries to get them out. It's as simple as that. Did I make that sound very complicated?
Yeah, no, it's not complicated at all.
So we've got two teams, Andy.
Yeah,
we've decided
teams,
with the Women's World Cup, the women's cricket and the women's football just around the corner. We've had two celebrity teams of women.
Well, we've never had a women's game of How's That.
That's fantastic.
This is a first. But it has been growing over the past 4 years.
We tend to turn to celebrities, don't we? We have a kind of celebrity team.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, one of the greatest How's That performances in the past, the champagne moment, was... the late great Queen Mother.
Tremendous.
He took three wickets.
She used to bat with a runner, though.
She did. Yeah, well, she was in her 90s at that stage, God bless her. But we used to play two overs.
Yeah.
But we did over £5 million worth of research. And it was decided that people felt two overs was too long. They'd get bored with two overs.
Yeah.
So we've renamed it, marketing-wise, we've renamed it the 12. It's now 12 balls. One 12-ball over.
Yeah.
It's no longer two overs.
No.
So that makes it completely
different.
And new
bowlers can come in at any point during the 12.
Yeah, and people can just come up and rock up and have a bowl, can't they?
Honestly, my wife, who doesn't particularly like cricket, she's going to love this.
Yeah, it's so much easier to understand.
It is.
And it's shorter, but despite the fact it's the same amount of balls, which is quite amazing. So, Andy, I'm going to toss the coin to see if you're going to bat or bowl first. Heads or tails?
Heads, please.
It is heads. So would you like to bat or bowl?
I think I'll set the target, so I'll bowl first.
Okay, you're going to have a... Okay, right then, fair enough. What do you mean by that?
No,
you're going to
set
the target?
Chase.
Do you
chase
like
the
cricket?
Target. Sorry,
the 12
I'm confused
is made
by
for
the
you.
12.
You know nothing. You're giving through me then.
It's all right.
You know more about cricket than anyone.
I got
anyway,
that wrong. Sorry,
you have a bat then, Andy.
Yeah.
And who's going to be opening the...
My team. Do you want to hear my team?
Let's hear your five women players, the five aside.
Well, and who else but the Queen?
Oh, Her Majesty the
Majesty
Queen.
Her Majesty the Queen.
Yeah.
She's opening it. She's got her own some royal supplier of sandpaper.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be working on the ball later.
Good, yeah.
She's opening the batting with Jimmy Cranky.
Oh, okay. I think you'll find... You know, Jeanette.
Yeah, Jeanette.
Okay, I'm with you, yeah.
Well, Jimmy Cranky is a woman.
I thought I might have to break some news to you then. But,
I know Jimmy Cranky's a woman.
Yeah.
Gemma Collins is batting at three.
Well, I had Gemma in, so I'm going to... She was slow left arm, but you can keep her in your team.
Well,
she very much
models herself on the late Colin Milburn.
Yeah, I'll take Gemma out of my team. Yeah. Okay,
and I've got Katie Price at four because nobody sledges better than Katie.
No, that's very
She's
true.
She's tremendous
yeah.
at that. And Kim Kardashian will be batting at five.
Fair
and
enough.
She's a bit of an all-rounder. She plays football as well. She's good for one off the backside.
She probably would be,
so there
yeah.
you go.
Now, my team is... I've got a queen, but of an earlier vintage, Elizabeth I.
Oh, really?
Flame-haired monarch. And she lets her hair down. She looks like Ryan Sidebottom when she's running in. Cleopatra, she's coming at you.
Yeah.
This is very much a bowling team.
Yes. She has been known to get the needle, though.
Well, Michelle Pfeiffer, who had a brilliant game last time out, got five wickets.
Of course she did.
Michelle Pfeiffer. That's why she's called that. Heavy of eyebrow and fantastic with the bat. Frida Kahlo, the Mexican artist.
Tremendous.
She's come in.
Good.
And also in my team is a singer from the northeast of England. Not well known, but a name to look out for in the world of the 12, D. Twentyman. Yeah, she like I was looking for someone called D20, but because she's very good at D20. Yeah, so she's in my
D20
team.
D20, D20, it's really obscure. Yeah.
So let's play the 12 for the first time ever.
Okay, so you've got
there's 12 balls in hand. You're going to bat for 12 balls. Throw your dice for the first
one. Because normally Macca scores.
So I'm going to have to score. Keep going. Go on, then. So who's your first facing the batting first? Okay, the Queen batting first. And she's out there with... Who's up the other end?
Jeanette Cranky.
Jeanette Cranky, okay. Fair enough. All right.
Jeanette,
yeah, that or I'm with you, Jeanette. Don't really complicate it. Now. Right, the Queen faces my first bowler after a brilliant performance is Michelle Pfeiffer.
For goodness sake,
how's
the Majesty.
That?
She's, how's that?
Well, is it?
Well,
how's
I don't
that?
Know.
Is it? How's that? Because I've got to roll my dice to see what it falls on. Will it fall on stumped, not out, LBW? Yeah. You're listening to Talk Sport, by the way.
The Queen's not happy. She says the people have come to see me bat. She's like WG Grace.
Here we go.
She's not going to want to go.
Stumped.
Oh,
stumped by my wicketkeeper, Carlo, which has raised a few eyebrows in the pavilion. So there we are. So the Queen stumped Carlo for naught off the bowling of Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Here we go.
Queen replaced now by Collins, Gemma Collins.
Gemma Collins
and,
comes in.
She's a big hitter. So
okay,
here she goes.
Sure she
come
is.
On,
here
Gemma.
We go then. First ball there for
and,
Gemma.
And oh, two.
Two for Gemma. The tidy start. Yeah, fair enough. Okay,
all,
two for Gemma.
All three.
She keeps strike then. Yep.
Three off ball three.
Okay, that's Gemma.
Yeah, so now Jeanette Cranky is up the other end.
Yeah.
You'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, I'm with you, yeah. So it's five runs so far. You're keeping the score of this, are you, John?
You keeping the score, John?
Yeah, nominally.
Nominally.
Says, okay.
Well,
Gemma Collins
on,
has
no
got
point.
Five
there's
runs.
There's no jeopardy.
And Jeanette Cranky's facing.
Five so far. Yeah, Collins on five. Cranky facing. It's ball four, isn't
it? Ball four, it certainly is,
I'm sorry, yeah. Hold on.
What we got there?
Two.
Two. Okay. A pretty tidy start for Jeanette. Harry Pilling-like, isn't
tough
she?
Tough going.
They certainly have got going, yeah. Next ball, then.
How's that?
Oh, how's that? Okay, on the fifth ball. Here
Tough's
we go
in
again.
Trouble.
Let's see what we got
ball
here.
Five.
There's no ball.
Oh!
No ball from...
So I get ball five again, and I get a run. So have you got that, John?
Yeah, I'm going to take... I told you it was confusing. You wanted to play this. It's your fault. I'm going to take Michelle Pfeiffer off after that terrible no ball. So it's now Cleopatra coming at you.
Okay, it's always annoying when you get a wicket off a no ball.
This is the... I think we're going to... We might have to carry this on sometime tomorrow. It took longer than we thought.
We're in the garden.
Yeah, okay, we are in the garden.
Oh, it's how's that again?
It's how's that again, okay.
So
fantastic.
Surely Cranky can't survive this.
Okay, here we go. One more of these. What is going on? What's that? Stumped.
Stumped again.
Once again. Carlo.
Carlo,
what a
tremendous
game.
She's having a tremendous game. Fantastic. That's ball five. Seven balls to go.
Yeah.
It'll be until 4
we
o'clock.
We can't carry on.
Should we just call it a six?
That's it. I think what was it? We've given you a flavour of it today, haven't we? I think we've given you a flavour of the game today. You'll all be rushing out and buying your own Owls at sets. I'm working on the basis that I think I would have won. So there we are. We're not going to get to the end of the game.
It's Katie Price.
I've got eight to beat, apparently.
Well, I haven't had bowled my fifth. I've only bowled five. We've been playing this till quarter to four.
Have your sixth ball then.
We're
going to
play. Call it the six.
We'll call it the six then. This game, not the 12.
Let Price have a moment.
Okay, let Price have a moment.
Okay, come on, Pricey.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, just a single. Very poor.
Just a single for Price. They finished on nine, did they?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Fair enough. Well, let's knock this off if we
can. Nine for two. I think.
Nine for two. Yeah.
Nine for two off the six.
Okay. I hope nobody's keeping score because we are in trouble then.
Well, no.
Right. Okay. Opening the batting for me, Elizabeth the First and Cleopatra. Quite a kind of regal lineup.
Okay.
There,
I'm going to bring on Her Majesty. To
okay.
Bowl.
I'm going to need the other die. They're not the green one. Yeah. Yeah, swap those over. Okay. There we go. Right. Fine. First ball.
She's coming off a long run.
Big three. Big three for Elizabeth the First. Fantastic.
A battle royal, isn't it? Elizabeth
it is. Cleopatra facing then. Let's have a big six from Cleo. Oh, it's just one little sneaky single.
So that's four, is it? Four off two.
Two. Liz back on strike.
Yeah.
Oh, and a little single again. They're just playing with you,
Andy.
Five
off three.
Cleo back on strike.
You need four off three balls.
Would
to
be
win
another
it.
One.
No, you need five to win. Oh, really? That's six off four.
So Liz back on strike.
This is tense.
Four, big four for Liz.
Oh, ten. That's the winning runs.
That's the winning runs. That was
it's
enough.
All over.
Thank goodness for that. So there we are. That
don't
was...
say thank God. Your blooming idea. You forced us into this. Great. He's great, isn't he?
The producer says thank God.
Tremendous.
It's always a good sign, isn't it? We're a team. I think you'll find we're a team. There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We return tomorrow at 1. We'll have the clips of the week. I think Martin Kellner's back as well. And other matters we'll be reflecting on England-Holland. Till then, have a fine evening.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.